Canadian Scotch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week, it's all about families, twi moms, twi kids, and little dogs.
Okay.
I didn't really have anywhere to go with that.
I wasn't expecting that kind of an introduction. Because I look at Twilight and I go, I don't see families at all unless you have a lot of teenage girls.
You know, like, I don't know. There's Twilight moms. Yeah. And moms are part of families, so that makes sense.
Okay, murderers are part of families too, somewhere.
It's also that this week is all about the PG movies, you know? Whereas last week was like badass James Bond week. And this week is
was PG-13.
Yeah, but
It's the exact same rating as Twilight. So what are you trying to say?
I don't know. I don't know. Here's what I'm trying to say. Here's how you can get a hold of us. You can get us over at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Keep those iTunes reviews coming. Do we get another review?
No, nobody.
Not that I
know. We got a real negative one. We always promise to read, but we never do.
Right. We don't read it. We're not going to read it. If you'd like to email us, fatguysfilmschoolrejects.com. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. Time to move onward with the movies. We're going to talk about Twilight and Bolt. I don't know how much more simple I can make it.
You could say we're going to just talk about Bolt.
We're going to talk about Bolt first. We'll get to Twilight here in a second.
We could skip Twilight altogether.
special programming note, though. Last week we promised to have Cole Abias from filmschoolrejects.com.
Oh, that's right.
On, and
that didn't happen.
No, apparently he's drunk in a ditch somewhere. So
he got drunk with some Twilight moms.
Yeah, otherwise known as a small scheduling conflict.
Yes. So. Meaning that I forgot to call him.
Well, he and I talked about it, and he just—I don't think he was available when we were going to be available. So no big deal.
But you did talk to him about the movie, so you can kind of pass along his thoughts and review.
I would be happy to relay his. Extremely interesting thoughts as a Twilight reader.
Yes.
Because I've never read the book, and I don't think you have either, have you?
I read about 70 pages.
Yeah, so we're not really qualified to you know.
They weren't in order. I just picked 70 random pages from the book.
Started at the middle and worked both
completely
ways.
Out of order. I mean, it was like I said, I'm going to read page 142, then I'm going to read page 12, then I'm going to read page 806, which doesn't even exist. That's in the next book.
Nice.
All right, but let's stop talking about Twilight for now, because we're going to talk more about that later.
Yeah,
let's
talk about this other Bolt. Movie.
Yeah, Bolt. This one, a dog thinks he really has superpowers in this 3D animated Disney family flick.
Bolt, speak.
Bolt is the greatest superhero on television.
Action.
And he thinks all his powers are real.
Ready on the bars.
But he's about to get...
Whoa, 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 whoa!
Don't let him out! He's never been off the set before!
A reality check.
I will super bark you out of that tree!
Go nuts. Let's see how that works out for you.
Which is also starring Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus, who you have a fine affinity for, even though you shouldn't.
I will in 2 years. I will have a huge affinity for her.
You know, one of the hosts that I do regular talk shows on the station that's probably going to be picking us up here in January.
Yeah,
he's related to Miley Cyrus.
Like how related to Miley Cyrus? Like distant, weird.
They're cousins somehow. I think he's 56th cousin, 812 times removed.
I suppose by that logic, I'm also related to Miley Cyrus, which would make the things that I'm going to want to fantasize about in 2 years very, very wrong.
You're an evil person. No, I asked him once. I said, "Have you ever met Billy Ray Cyrus or Miley?" And he's like, "No, they were at the Ohio State Fair. Billy Ray was at the Ohio State Fair a couple like 10 years ago, back in the dark days, the post mullet days of his career."
Oh, right.
Yeah, and he interviewed him on the phone.
Achy, breaky heart.
Yeah, kind of like between the peaks of Achy Breaky Heart and Hannah Montana, back when he was doing like Doc.
Yes. Nice.
on that Christian network, whatever that was.
Fair enough.
Okay. We did not see Bolt in 3D, which was a huge, I thought was a shame, because I really, really, really wanted to see it in 3D. So I'm probably going to have to check that out in the theater sometime in the next week or two.
Well, it was definitely a cool movie. I thought that, you know, I don't think it stands up to movies like Kung Fu Panda and WALL-E, but it was a lot of fun. And it's a lot of fun for the kids. And, you know, Disney's going to make just a pile of gold off of the merchandising for this movie. Because who doesn't want a little dog with a lightning bolt on the side of it?
Disney sent my boys, or me, and I gave it to my boys, a plush bolt. And it's the most adorable dog, a stuffed animal you'll ever see. And it was hysterical because they brought it to the screening. And so all these kids were like, I want one of those.
I believe one of them attacked me with it.
Well, that's what everybody does.
Yeah.
You deserve that. But I thought, and you kind of have to say, it's an computer animated film from Disney. It's not Pixar, and it doesn't hold up to Pixar. Because, you know, Pixar's just ridiculously awesome.
Right.
But I think it holds up to the other animated CGI Disney films, stuff like Meet the Robinsons and Chicken Little, which I thought were both cute little movies, and I enjoyed both. I had a lot of fun watching it. It really grew on me throughout the film. I thought it slowed down a bit in the middle, which is kind of to be expected, because, well, the thing is, it opens with such the most awesome beginning. I mean, like, Incredibles level of awesomeness.
Action. Yeah, I like action.
It's this action sequence from his TV show. Because the whole bit is he's a dog who they pretend has superpowers, and so he thinks he has superpowers, so they get a real acting out of him. And they show, like, the first 10 minutes is the TV show with this incredible action. And there was a bit of a downer for me, because I'm like, well, I don't care about him driving across the U.S. I want to see him, you know, blow up some more helicopters.
Right. I want to see the version of the movie that where Bolt is starring in the movie.
Exactly. So, but I mean, I still liked it. There were a couple things in the movie that we've seen before. You know, the whole trekking, you know, a dog trying to get home. We've seen that in Incredible Journey. We just
Homeward
saw that in
Bound.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Really? That was how Beverly Hills Chihuahua plays out?
Yeah, well, she gets sent to Mexico, and she has to get back to Beverly Hills.
Oh, right.
And there's also this very Buzz Lightyear sort of story where he thinks he's got powers, and then he comes to the realization that he doesn't. You know, he's just a toy kind of thing.
Right, but instead, this guy sounds like John Travolta instead of Tim Allen.
Yes. Well, but the best part, would you agree with me, the best part's a hamster?
By far. I like the hamster.
The hamster's awesome, and the pigeons are awesome, too.
Oh, yeah, the pigeons, you know, but I mean, that's kind of a joke that I think has been done before in various movies where the pigeons with the gangsta accents. What was that movie
There's Valiant, which was all about carrier pigeons, which was released by Disney, but it wasn't one of their actual animated films.
What was it? Good Pigeons or something like that?
What are you talking about?
In some other movie. I don't know. Anyways.
What'd you think of Bolt?
I liked it. I think you mentioned Meet the Robinsons, and I think that's a great comparison because it was a movie that I enjoyed when I was watching it, and I could watch it again and probably enjoy it again, you know, with very little effort on my part. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's one of those movies that really sticks. You know, I went back and had a chance to watch WALL-E again this week. That movie really sticks. You know, that is a movie that makes a serious impact on you in how beautifully it is done and how well constructed it is. Whereas Bolt, I think, is just, it's a lot of fun. It's not going to be one of those great Disney movies, but, you know, if you got kids, why not? You could spend your weekend doing worse things, like watching Twilight. So,
and that's a teaser for the review, which we'll be having when we come back from the break, and we will talk all things Twilight and get in a lot of trouble with Twilighters and Twi-miles.
And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and as promised, we're going to talk about Twilight. Before we get to that, we've got to give our grades for Bolt, I suppose.
Yes.
So, I'm going to say kind of rocks.
You know what? I have a feeling that this week, we're going to be in agreement on a lot of things.
Agreeing
on
how much we liked Bolt, on different levels of hate for Twilight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think Bolt, as well, kind of rocks.
Yeah, this is going to be a very laissez-faire show.
It's almost a rocks. It almost rocks. If it's just like I said, it was a bit of a downer after that awesome opening sequence.
Yeah, it slows down, I guess. So, anyways, moving on, Twilight time. This is the movie that I believe our entire female listenership All seven of them have have been waiting for the entire year. I know my mom. She's one of those seven.
Is your mom a Twi-mil?
She's a total Twilight mom.
She is? Did she read the books?
She's read all the books. She's very excited about the movie. She's got a little group of ladies that are going with her on Sunday to see it. And
she's not a real Twi MILF if she's not going on Friday.
Well, I'm not associating MILF with my mom in any way, shape, or form.
That's
so, fine. But she is a Twilight mom, I would say, because she's a mom. She reads Twilight. She's a big fan. Mm. I don't know. She's Team Edward all the way. Anyways, Twilight, teen angst. What is a teen angst movie?
Teen angst is abound. I misread.
Abound. Okay. You wrote. Anyways, it's a movie about a teen vampire who falls in love with a teen human, and then they stare at each other.
You know what you are? You're impossibly fast and strong. Your skin is pale white and ice cold.
I'm not the most dangerous thing out there.
Security guard at Grisham Mill got killed by some kind of animal.
An animal?
You brought a snack.
You know, I think you nailed it perfectly with that. There's a lot of staring in this movie.
Actually, it's not even staring. It's brooding to rock music.
Icy slow-mos. Glares. Icy glares. You know?
It is. Mm. And man, if I had to see them do that one more time, stare at each other, I was going to probably shoot myself.
You know what they do? You know how like in people will edit movies like on YouTube, and they'll edit together all the ums and ahs from somebody, or like when somebody says the same word. They should like edit together all the stares in Twilight.
Right.
But do you know why they can't do that? Because
it would be longer than the actual movie.
Well, no, there's a 9-minute limit on what you can upload to YouTube. You couldn't get the whole thing up there.
Now, I will say, though, there are some good things about this movie. The frustrating part, I guess, about Twilight to me is that it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. So it was in that painfully mediocre category where, you know, you kind of run out of things to say. But there were some good things. I liked Catherine Hardwicke. You know, she had a good eye for making the film look and feel very cold and pale.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that comes from from her work as a production designer, and I think for a vampire movie, I love vampire movies that have a real sense of style. Like I thought 30 Days of Night had a real sense of style.
You know what I love in vampire? I love vampire movies where vampires actually eat people.
Well, that too. Well, and you know what? I think I tried to make this point in my written review, is that we expect one of two things out of our vampire movies. Mm. We expect them to either be very brutal and violent, or we expect them to be very sexy and glamorous, or a mixture of both. And Twilight is neither. So that creates a huge, potentially huge problem for traditional fans of vampire movies.
I will say what I thought was the only thing that I really thought was great about this movie was Nikki Reed in her badonkadonk.
You would. Well, I mean, I thought that, you know, I thought it was relatively well acted. You know, the cast was passable. And I thought that, you know, the look and feel was very cool. And I thought there were a couple scenes that were kind of cool. Like there's a baseball scene.
Oh, my
and
I God. Really the, thought, no. Okay. I got to take it to task on this because last year when Spider-Man 3 came out and everyone complained about the jazz club scene, I said every movie has a jazz club scene. And like in Transformers, it was when they trampoline the Rose Garden. That was their jazz club scene. To me, the baseball scene was totally the jazz club scene.
I don't know. Maybe.
Totally.
It was kind of silly, but. But I thought it was well. I thought that the effects were the best in that scene. The rest of the special effects in this movie were atrocious.
Well, there's actually, and I was looking at the trailer. There's a shot of them like one of them leaping off a, you know, because it's a big vampire battle. Which like one teeny tiny little vampire, and this is it.
And it lasts for 30 seconds.
Yeah,
it's like the premature. Never mind.
Well, it wasn't very premature because you have to wait 2 hours to get to it.
Oh, but, nice.
But somebody leaps off of a balcony type thing. And in the trailer, you can see the person kind of wobble on the wires. You know, they don't make this smooth leap. They kind of and then they wobble, And that's the shot they use for the trailer. Oh, sure, they painted out the wires, but they still look like they're on wires.
I was really, and you know, I was really, really surprised to see that ILM was responsible for the special effects during the credits. I was just shocked.
I don't think that's Industrial Light and Magic. I think that's I Like Movies, Inc.
You know, in reality, it's like ILM put their junior varsity squad on this.
Yeah.
The same people that, you know, that do effects for primetime television. And I think that's really what detracts, what makes Twilight a movie that will never, you know, transcend its fan base, I guess. Because if you remove all the buzz and the hype and the crazy fans and this just sick popularity that the books have, it's just another brooding teen drama with vampires. It's nothing special. But I think if they did anything right, if Catherine Hardwicke did anything right in putting this movie together, it is that it really does play lip service big time to fans.
Oh, it's totally made for the fans. And when you watch the movie, I literally am watching the movie and I'm like, I can totally see where like teenage girls go gaga over this movie, because it's all about the forbidden love, and it's all about this girl who wants this guy, and she's totally infatuated with this guy, and you know, it's you just feel it all tense up, and that's I mean, I have a sister, and so I kind of know what it's like to live with a teenage girl when you're growing up,
right?
And you totally get that sense where you're just like, yes, I can see where this absolutely, utterly speaks to the teenage girl and speaks to the parent, the Twilight moms, for two reasons, because they were teenage girls at one point in their life, so it's a bit, bit of a way to relive. But there's also this, well, it's well known that Stephanie Meyer, who wrote it, is a Mormon. And so there's this morality to it where there's an abstinence message in the film, because, you know, Bella and Edward are in love, but they can't have that physical contact because he would eat her face off.
Right.
That would be the danger. And so, of course, they kind of have to have this forbidden love, and there's this all this tension because they can't just have a makeout session, let alone, you know, do the nasty vampire style or anything like that.
I mean, I think they eventually have to do the nasty. And it's funny because
I wiggled when I said that, too. So if you want to get extra creepy, just imagine me wiggling going, do the nasty.
Terrible. It's terrible. Anyways, you know, I think personally, I compared it a little bit to that new series, True Blood, which is on HBO now, which is a great series. Because it's very sexy and edgy and everything that Twilight isn't. But then again, you got to remember who this movie's for. It's not for, you know, older dudes like Kevin and I. And it's for the teenage girls and the middle-aged moms. And and you're right. They want that forbidden fruit, that beautiful brooding I don't know, Cedric Diggory looking character.
Well, so. Now I'm gonna. I kind of commented through your review, but now I'm gonna kind of like launch with both barrels here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought I'm gonna disagree with you. I thought the acting at times was passable, and at times was like totally, totally awful. It reminded me in the movie The Happening, which I liked. Just they had some just terrible deliveries of lines, and that's I think that's Shyamalan's style of just not like caring about people's believability. And in this one, there's points in there where they're having these dialogues that are like community theater level of acting. And they're better than that. And I think that Robert Pattinson channels Hayden Christensen through most of the movie, just with this like sort of this look of constipation. And overall, and the effects were bad. I mean, the production design was cool. But then I went and I looked up Catherine Hardwicke's other movies, and I'm like...
She was a production designer for years.
Well, true, but she did Lords of Dogstown, which I hated. And she also did The Nativity Story. And here's a woman who took, quote-unquote, the greatest story ever told, and made it with no soul. How do you make the story of the birth of Jesus without having any passion to it? I think that comes across in Twilight. But I think the girls who read the books are going to go gaga. But outside of them, nobody.
Yeah,
it sucks.
I say kind of sucks. I think there are some people out there to like it, but I don't know. We'll talk about how it's going to do when we come back.
22 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And we're back, Fat Guys at the Movies. That's the name of the show.
That's right. I guess. Yeah, you weren't talking to the Fat Guys at the Movies.
Nope. We are the Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the virtual magical studio in the sky, and we have just blown your mind with our reviews of Twilight and Bolt.
Your mind is blown. That was me channeling Jack Black, who's a fat
guy. And I would just like to say, for the record, for all our Twilight fan listeners, which probably isn't that many people. I don't think we really dogged on the movie as, you know, saying that fans are wrong for liking it. It's just not a good movie.
No.
It is, however, good for fans.
Although,
if
you're like a 47-year-old guy and you're like, I love Twilight, yeah, there is something wrong with you.
There's something wrong with you. Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, moving on. Time for the Indie Spotlight. We've got a very cool movie to talk about. It's called Special, and it stars Michael Rapaport.
That's so special.
It's not about mental illness. It's not about mental disorders or anything either. It's not like
Does Michael Rapaport go full R-word in this movie?
No, he doesn't. But it's basically Michael Rapaport plays a guy named Les, who
Less is more.
Yeah, who goes and he's having some anxiety problems, some depression problems. So he goes and joins this program where he takes this experimental medicine, which gives him superpowers, or at least he thinks he has superpowers.
Like Bolt?
So like levitation.
So this is basically like Bolt without the dog.
Not even. It's more like...
Does it star Miley Cyrus?
What's that Hunter S. Thompson movie?
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, but like a superhero genre version, because he's on this medication and he has an adverse effect to it. And he thinks he can run through walls, and he thinks he can.
So he's basically he's basically like Heather Locklear.
Sure, I guess. I don't know what that reference is.
She was charged with DUI because she was on drugs, but they were like prescription drugs, and she was driving erratically in a parking lot.
Sure.
Which is sort of like the equivalent of like Shia LaBeouf getting arrested at Walgreens.
But anyways, this movie, it actually is very funny in a kind of a twisted way.
Oh, you didn't see it. You're just saying that.
No, I saw it. They sent me a screener and everything. Michael Rapaport gives an awesome performance in this movie. Mm-hmm. I think that is what I came away from it most, is that he is just hysterical. And Josh Peck is in it. From the Whackness.
He doesn't look anything.
This must have been made back. It was made back in 2006. When he was like
heavy?
Big fat Josh Peck.
Yeah.
Wasn't
the Whackness made like several years? It took a while to get that one out, didn't it?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just derailed you, didn't I?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. But no, it's fun, but it's also very smartly written and very well acted, and I thought that and it makes for a good one.
Okay,
it's another one of those Magnolia Film movies that they've had just such a great year with stuff like this and Let the Right One In, and you know.
Did we get that in our award screening packet?
No, we didn't.
I'm not watching it.
Okay.
That's what I have to say. Are there naked women in this movie?
No.
All right, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, I wish there would have been. There is a love story, love story with Alexander Holden, who's very hot. But Alexandra.
Oh.
Holden.
I know how you swing, so.
You'd totally. She looks like, what's her name? She looks like Melissa George. But
Melissa George is in Grey's Anatomy now.
Oh, really?
That's just a random piece of information.
Yeah. The only thing I recognize Alexandra Holden from is that really terrible cheerleader movie, Sugar and Spice.
Her name sounds familiar. Marley Shelton. I'm gonna Google her, so just keep talking, and it'll pretend like I'm still actually paying attention.
But I think that's one of the things about the movie that I wish they would have explored a little bit more. But it's, you know, it's kind of this quirky. He's a very socially awkward person.
Oh, wait. I know why. I know who she is. She was in Private Practice this week. She's cute.
Yeah, she's cute, yeah.
And I would. So she's not naked in it, though.
No, unfortunately not.
I'm not seeing it.
But it's very funny because for a time in the movie, you actually do start to believe that he has special powers.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to not believe because it almost looks, you know, it's easy to see why he believes that he has superpowers and mm-hmm. becomes a superhero. Mm-hmm. So, but in the end, it's very sad.
I'm still not seeing it because there's no nudity.
Fair enough. I don't know. I would recommend it to other people, though.
Okay.
It's one of those nice, quaint indie films. I don't know.
Okay.
So there you go.
I don't do quaint until they send me a screener.
Anyways, time to talk about the box office. I guess the question this week is how much money will Twilight make?
Do you want to take a stab or do you want me to jump in?
You know, I am so curious to hear what you think.
I don't think it's going to do as well as everyone's saying. Right now, the industry tracking is 60 plus. People are predicting up to 64 million for this movie. And mm-hmm. I just don't see that happening. And I'll tell you why. Because even when we were at Comic-Con, there mm-hmm. is a severely limited demographic. It is teenage girls. And, you know, people have compared it to High School Musical in the sense that it's got that very, very, very limited demographic. The difference is with High School Musical, which only made 40-some million its opening weekend, it's High School Musical, you have the parents being dragged because you got like 12-year-olds wanting to see the movie, so or 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds or whatever, and their parents are being dragged to it. Twilight is going to be the teenage kids and that's it. So I don't think you're not going to have this ancillary audience that's brought along to you as well. Plus, I think industry tracking is based on the fact that it's selling out midnight shows, which doesn't.
Right. It sold out over 2,000 shows, nationwide,
which is great. But that doesn't mean those are all people that are going to see the movie anyways. This is not. It's not necessarily a phenomenon. I think you're going to have monster business. No pun intended. Monster business on Friday. And you're probably going to, usually you see an uptick from Friday to Saturday. I think it's going to be level Friday to Saturday, and it's just going to drop off on Sunday because everyone who wants to see this movie is going to be there the very first show they can get to.
Well, I think I would take it a step further than what you're saying in that I think we underestimate how big the fan base for Twilight is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really what makes it up is that middle-aged woman crowd, that crowd that made, you know, so much money for Titanic, I think. But that's not a very good comparison
because
it's not going to be anything like Titanic. But that is a very potent demographic in the world of movies.
Mm.
The moms, I guess.
But here's my question. How much is the Twilight mom segment as big or just as vocal? Because there is so much buzz, and I've mentioned Twilight to people. Now you know what it is because, you know, when I'm on the radio or I'm talking to somebody else or I'm just randomly speaking to somebody, a month ago, nobody had any idea what Twilight was. All the buzz was mm-hmm. completely generated on the internet and within its own fan base. It's a rabid fan base, but it's like dealing with Star Trek fans, you know?
Right. And look how those movies always seem to turn out.
Well, but no, it's true. The Star Trek movies, they do well, but they're not monster huge. They're not like the Dark Knight. You don't or even like Spider-Man or something like that. They speak to a very limited, very vocal, very powerful demographic, but you don't get outside. It'd be like if they made a Stargate movie, which I'm a big fan of the Stargate series. If they made a Stargate movie and released it in the theaters, it wouldn't do as well as you would expect if you tracked the buzz on the internet.
Right.
You know, because most people who don't watch Stargate, they're not going to watch Stargate. And I think that's the way it's going to be with Twilight. I'm predicting 40 million for this.
Right. Well, I'm thinking 50, 60, but I really think I don't think it's going to drop off this weekend. I think it's going to have a big opening weekend because there will be people that'll go see it 2-3 times just because they love the books.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll really drop off in that second weekend. You know, we'll see James Bond and Bolt and movies like that above it in week two.
Easily.
Easy. So, you know, I think it's going to do well on opening weekend, and then it's just going to fade away.
Let me read this headline. This is from Steve Mason, a box office reporter. Stephanie Meyer's Twilight could suck. $65 million for moviegoers. I just wanted to get that out there because it could very well suck. I really think that. Well, and this is the other thing. This has been a year of overestimation for a lot of these movies. They overestimated High School Musical 3 by like 20 million.
Narnia,
overestimated. A lot of movies this year have been overestimated. And then movies like Madagascar does very well, but Madagascar was such a versatile movie. And that's the movies that do monster huge are ones that are very versatile that speak outside of the demographic. Madagascar, Dark Knight, James Bond, all these have an appeal outside of their core fan base. And Twilight has no appeal whatsoever outside of its core fan base.
Right. And speaking of James Bond, $67 million last week.
Oh, which was an underestimation, actually. They overestimated that one to be 70 point some. And did you see the thing about how it still hasn't beat the Bourne series?
Well, yeah.
You know.
Bourne movies are a big deal.
Yeah.
But Madagascar also $35 million. Even bigger question, I guess, is how will Bolt do with Madagascar out? You think Bolt's just going to take over and do $40 million this weekend?
I could see Bolt, you know, in the 30s and the 40s. I think it'll be up there. I think it actually has a chance to equal, if not beat, Twilight, because I think the numbers for Twilight are so inflated.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see a drop.
I wouldn't be surprised if Bolt comes out number one on the weekend.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not going to predict it, but I...
Well, considering what happened with Madagascar 2 weeks ago, the only difference is that it's going to be competing against Madagascar. But here's the thing. Madagascar, people have had 2 weeks to see it. And you're going to have Bolt, right. And Bolt's going to do well this week, and then it's just going to clean up next week because there's no family film.
Weekend.
Well, there's no family film next week. It's Four Christmases, Transporter 3, and Australia. And who's going to be taking a 10-year-old to Australia? I mean, the movie, not the continent.
I don't think anybody, but I don't know. We'll talk about Australia next week. I think everybody should go see that, but anywho.
Okay, well, there you go.
Nice. Last topic of this particular segment is...
Are we going to do this here?
Yeah, sure, why not?
We've got like less than a minute.
We do. All right, well, let's fill some time then.
You want to bring it up? You want to just talk Star Trek, or we can talk about it?
We can talk Star Trek. They showed some Star Trek footage at... in New York over the weekend. I know, Monday.
Yeah.
Last week. And R. Cole Abias was there. And I guess the consensus from just about everybody that I've read, even like Harry Knowles and, you know, some of the super geeks on the web, is that it's not the traditional version of Star Trek that we're used to, but it might be just what Star Trek needs, a very glossy, you know, big production value action movie.
Well, like I said, the traditional Star Trek doesn't speak outside its demographic.
Right, so this one might. So who knows? Sounds good. I like it. Sounds like a good thing going on. So, but when we come back, we're going to talk about other stuff.
So one thing I wanted to also mention about Star Trek, we were talking about in the previous segment, and how this new movie could speak outside of its demographic. I was watching, and you know what? I can't remember what show it was, because I actually watch a lot more TV than I usually do. Maybe it was Sarah Connor. It may have been the Sarah Connor Chronicles. And they showed a trailer for Star Trek. Which had some...
Fringe? They were playing Star Trek trailers during Fringe on Tuesday.
I haven't watched Fringe this week, but it may have been The Terminator that I saw it during. Looks really cool, and it does look like it's J.J. Abrams-ized, so it can appeal to people outside of just the Trekkers. Mm-hmm. The part that I found most interesting, not the Enterprise, Kirk or Spock or anything like that. The fact that they have Uhura, played by Zoe Saldana, taking her shirt off, stripping down her underwear in like a real brief moment. That's what I'm most interested in. Because Nichelle Nichols,
right?
Yeah, Nichelle Nichols has nothing on this lady because Zoe Saldana is hot with a capital
Saldana,
H.
Isn't it Saldana?
I don't care. Saldana. I'm not going to use her last name when I'm talking to her. I'll be like, hey, Zoe, what's up, babe?
Anyways, it does. It looks like a sexier version of Star Trek, and I don't think that I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I would remind a lot of the Star Trek hardcore Trekkers, which I am not one, that the Star Trek movies, they're just not that interesting.
If you're a Trekker,
if you're into the show. But beyond that, it's like, you know, it, they've really never made an effort to reach out into the mainstream, and a successful effort at least.
Well, the original series, the classic Trek series, there were a couple ones that really that were accessible to people outside of just core Trekkers. Yeah. The problem is when they started making Next Generation movies, is it was so similar to the TV show, which had a wider appeal, I think, than the original. But it still kind of had that, you were still continuing these characters that evolved on television. So I'd be curious. I'm now interested in seeing Star Trek. I originally, when they first came out with casting, I was like, oh man, this is going to suck. But, and I was very critical on all the casting with the exception of Zachary Quinto. Right. But seeing sort of the flavor that he's using for this, I think that it's appropriate casting for what it the kind of movie it looks like he's making.
Right. And I think the movie that he's making might not go well with some traditionalists, but
yeah.
Overall, if it makes a lot of money, Star Trek fans should be happy.
You know?
Because that means they're going to get more Star Trek movies. Because really, what, 5-something years ago, this franchise was dead cinematically.
Well, what they did is they had, it was the last Star Trek movie, which was the one with the Romulans and
wasn't
the cloning.
Nemesis?
Yeah. And that one just didn't do very well. It wasn't even 5 years ago. Well, maybe. Like 4. Maybe.
2002 4. Was Nemesis. Yeah, 6 years ago. So 6 years ago, essentially Star Trek was
2002 was Nemesis? No, because I can't have been. Are you looking that up right now?
I'm looking it up right now. 2002. 2001 was Star Trek Enterprise, the TV series. 2002 was Nemesis.
No, there was something that came out in 2004.
Was there?
It has to be. Hold on. I'm checking the interwebs because I don't trust your interwebs. That's all I have to say. So go ahead and start talking like you know something.
I need to look this up too. 2002, Nemesis was the last one, man.
Really?
Yep. I mean,
Wow. Okay,
so yeah, it's just, you know, I think Star Trek fans should be grateful that they're getting anything.
What did Cole Abias think of the footage himself?
He liked it. He's not a big Star Trek fan, and I know he had dinner afterwards with Harry Knowles, who is a longtime Star Trek fan, and everybody was very impressed with what J.J. Abrams has done, considering J.J. Abrams is that I'm not a big Star Trek fan type of guy.
Yeah.
Where he's not trying to make, you know, like we just talked about with Twilight, he's not trying to make a movie that's lip service to the fans.
Yeah.
He's trying to make what he believes is a really kick-ass, futuristic sci-fi action thriller. And it just happens to be a Star Trek movie. And I think that is probably going to become a strength for the film. You know, and I was just like you. I thought when that casting was announced, I said, you know, this is going to be dumb. You know, okay. Chris Pine. Who's Chris Pine? You know, Simon Pegg, John Cho, and now thinking about, you know, starting to hear what kind of movie he was going for, it makes sense. You know, I'm not gonna say it's gonna be a great movie just yet, but starting to make sense. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of people that just trust in J.J. Abrams because he's done good work. You know.
Yeah. Well, and I even like Mission Impossible 3, which didn't do well.
Yeah,
but speaking of Cole Abias, what did he think of Twilight? Since we were going to have him on as a guest.
Well, it was funny because he and I had talked about it. We had a very similar initial grade for Twilight, and then after hearing him describe how just seething mad he was about some of the special effects and stuff like that, I think he hated it. You know,
Did he like the books? Did he actually like the books?
I think he liked the books. Yeah. So okay. I don't want to necessarily speak for him, but you know, that whole Twilight thing did not go well. So
really,
I really think that people who will allow themselves to be blinded will like the movie. You know, that's blinded by their own fandom.
Yeah. Well, you know. But it's that thing where it's the Harry Potter movies got made into books, and people who were not Harry Potter, the story's so good and the characters are so good that it got new fans with the movies. People went and saw the movies who never read the books, and then they read the books.
Yeah.
As opposed to this, where I think every people who read the book are going to go see it, and nobody else.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So. One thing about Twilight, which I couldn't say in the other segments, one of the things I didn't like, is there a lot of holes in it? Like the whole thing is it's a family of vampires, and they're always going to high school. And I'm like, who the hell would choose that? I mean, seriously, because they're like, well, he's like Edward is 17. Why don't you just say you're 18?
Right.
And not go to high school. And he's like, well, the younger we pretend we are, the longer we can stay in one place. And I'm like, you've been a vampire since like the early 1900s. It's not like you've been a vampire since 2000 BC or something like that. I'm like, so you've really only been a vampire for as long as like, my grandfather was alive kind of thing. So it's not like you're not that, you know, you haven't been around for hundreds of years. So there's that. And you do just kind of look at it. There are certain things that just really don't make a whole lot of sense. And here's the other thing, you know, so Forbidden Love, this is very crass, and I'm sure people have thought of this, but the whole thing is he can't make out with Bella because he'll want to kill her. There's actually a scene where he starts to kiss her and then he pushes himself away. Right. You know, once a month, they could.
That is not going through your head.
These are the things you think about. These are the things I think about. I mean, seriously, you think about it. You're like, is there any way that we could like be with you? And you're like, well, you know, cocktail.
I
did
quit.
I lose you? Did
wow.
you just hey?
I officially no longer want to ever talk to you again. That's terrible.
But there's nothing terrible about that. That's just an observation.
That's so twisted. I hope we don't have any like Twilight fans that are listening right now.
Well, they will now. We should publicize it. We should publicize this and say, "Come hear the ridiculous things Kevin Carr is saying about Twilight."
That's probably the most ridiculous thing anybody's said about it.
But it makes
sense. Your mind
sense.
Goes to places that just the rest of us, well, most yeah, we're probably guys, all thinking it. But.
Most guys are like, yeah, I love my girlfriend. I love getting with her. But then there's that time of the month. And he'd be like, I'm counting the days.
Wow.
Because she's not going to be any crankier because she's already all cranky in the film. She's already all brooding and, why don't you explain to me what your problem is?
Wasn't there something else we were going to talk about here?
Yes. The Fat Guy 5.
Yeah.
The 5 most offensive things Kevin Carr said about
The 5 Twilight. Most offensive things Kevin Carr can think of about Twilight.
That's really it, though. It's just the whole menstrual thing. That's
okay.
All I have to say. Do vampires menstruate? That's a good question.
I don't think so. Although, I will say this. I was watching Let the Right One In, which is a really, really good vampire
movie. Oh, yeah, because the Japanese never put anything. Is it Japanese?
No, it's Swedish.
Oh, Swedish. So same difference. They all look the same.
There's this really cool scene. You know, I think there's different vampire lore. Some of which says that a vampire cannot enter your home unless you invite them.
Yeah, you know? That's a big deal. Yeah,
yeah, they make a big deal about it on True Blood and stuff like that.
Well,
that's a
Dracula thing. That goes back to Salem's Lot and the Lost Boys.
So there's a scene where the little kid, he just kind of motions to the vampire girl to come into his house. He doesn't actually invite her in, and she starts to walk in, and she just starts to like bleed, like out awesome. Of her eyeballs and her ears, and it's not like a really gory scene, but it's a really creepy scene.
Did she menstruate?
I would imagine she was bleeding out of anything that had an open area. I suppose. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Have you seen the South Park episode with the bleeding Madonna?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. It's hilarious.
Jeez. You're terrible. Anyways, Fat Guy 5 time. This is this is your list this week,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
The 5 this fake is, movies we'd really like to see.
Yeah. It's been a big deal to put like fake movie trailers and fake movies into other movies. And it was funny as I've been racking my brain all week trying to think of ones that like predate the last 2 years, and I really can't. I mean, there are movies that I remember being movies within movies,
right?
Like The Player, and like in that, what was Postcards from the Edge has a movie within a movie in it, mm-hmm. and a Soap Dish, and there's a whole bunch of movies, but they're not that good. I think recently people have really put some thought into fake trailers or fake movies within movies. That would be awesome if they actually made a real movie out of them.
Okay.
So I'm going to do from 5 to 1. So number 5 is Cock Puncher from the Onion movie. Did you see that?
Yes. Very funny.
Steven Seagal as Cock Puncher, which I thought was great because Steven Seagal is kind of making fun of himself. I gained some respect for him because although, you know what? Here's one that I missed the list. I'm going to just throw this out there. I'd love to see a Terrence and Phillip movie. or Itchy and Scratchy from The Simpsons, one of the two, because they never have real, it's all snippets and stuff.
Nice.
And number 4, The Fatties Fart 2 from Tropic Thunder.
I think it's just so that you can write another WTF article that no one will understand.
That nobody gets. That
they'll be like, shut up, man. People
you don't know
are
what
fat.
You're talking about.
Real people are fat.
Well, you know, I'd love it because I think it would be a funny movie. Because it looked like it could be so extreme. And the other movies from Tropic Thunder, the fake trailers, I thought were funny fake trailers, but I really have no interest in seeing Satan's Alley.
Right.
And I think Scorcher would be funny to watch, but I don't know. It still wouldn't be that good.
Yeah.
Number 3, Bolt the TV show. After
Which
the opening
would
sequence
totally
of Bolt.
Totally be awesome.
Oh, wouldn't it be great?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'd watch that. And the one that would not make the list was the from How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, Megan Fox as Mother Teresa. There'd be no way I'd sit through that.
Yeah.
Just an aside. Number 2, Thanksgiving from Grindhouse.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's the Eli Roth slasher movie.
Yep.
Which looks awesome. I really think he should do it because what was his last movie, Hostel 2? That didn't do well. He should just go in to do slashers. And then speaking of slashing, number 1, Machete.
Nice.
From Grindhouse, which they actually were talking about making Machete, weren't they?
They were, and then fans thought that they were, and then they weren't.
Because
so,
you know,
if you
Robert
can understand
Rodriguez,
what I just said, then you know exactly what's going on.
Because you know, Robert Rodriguez could grab Danny Trejo, they'd go down to Mexico, they'd shoot it for like 10 grand, and they'd make at least $1 million or $2.
Yeah, totally. And it would probably be more successful than Grindhouse. Because Machete would be a totally awesome movie, whereas Grindhouse, not totally awesome.
I thought Grindhouse was totally awesome, but it wouldn't be 3 hours long.
Yeah, see, that was the non-totally awesome part that I was mentioning.
Oh, okay.
So, anywho.
I'm done.
Me too. No, I wanted to talk about real quick favorite vampire movie. So, what's your favorite vampire movie of all time?
Oh, gosh.
Who's your favorite
movie?
New Kid?
Kid on the Block?
That's a joke. That's from Mallrats. Anyways.
Oh, okay.
Quick, what's your favorite vampire movie?
You tell me yours first while I think.
I don't know. I really think that I have a real soft spot for 30 Days of Night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the longest time in the now almost 100 episodes that we've done, we've talked at great length about my huge...
Wussy pantsiness?
Yeah, I guess that would be a good word. my vaginitis would be another good word.
I thought we weren't talking about that with the Twilight issue and everything anymore.
Anyways, about movies that are very scary or gory or bloody. You know, I hate movies like Saw and Hostel and stuff like that. Whereas 30 Days of Night is probably the most brutal and violent and sadistic vampire movie ever. Yeah. And I loved it. I thought it was, that's how vampires should be. And that's maybe part of the reason why, you know, I'm not too high on Twilight is I think vampire movies should be wicked violent because vampires in my mind are pure evil. There is no sexy soft side of a vampire. They thirst for blood. They want to kill everyone. And at their days of night, that's what they were. They were pure evil. And that was awesome.
I'll give you that. You know, I am getting sick of the sexy vampire stuff, like the whole Anne Rice thing.
Yeah, I mean, sure, that was great, but we need to get over that and make some really kick-ass vampire movies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to go to the classics on this one. I'm going to say Dracula. It's probably my favorite vampire, just because it is the classic original. Although, you know what? I'm going to go with Nosferatu.
Oh, wow. You're taking it all the way back.
all the way back to the silent era. Nosferatu, because he was the scariest ass vampire. And I love Dracula, and I actually love the Coppola version of Dracula because it went to all this practical special effects and not digital. I've never been a huge, huge fan of the I mean, I like a good vampire movie, but I also like comedies like Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. And Love at First Bite with George Hamilton.
I think, I think there's some other good ones, like the Underworld series is kind of cool. I personally want to see werewolves and vampires fight, as kind of a personal thing. And I think that might happen in Twilight.
In like Twilight Part 17, if they ever get past all the damn brooding.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a cool way to end the movie, So, but beyond that, that's about it.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay. Well, are we done now?
I think we are done. That is the internet-only segment. And when we come back, we are going to wrap you up in a big way. Back on Fat Guys at the Movies. It's time to wrap you up and bundle you up. It's cold here in Ohio, just for all of those of you who aren't in Ohio. It's very cold and snowy-ish. Yes. It wasn't snowy when I was in Columbus,
Yeah, it was.
For the first
time. It was snowy. Well, not as snowy as it was elsewhere.
It's snowy in Cleveland, let me tell you that. Okay. That's where I'm at this week. So, time to do a little DVD roundup. And
was that good enough, Kevin, for you? You paused.
Yeah, no,
like
that was
I didn't
good.
Do the sound
that
effect.
That was good enough, I guess. Right. Your pick first. I will second this pick.
Well, yeah, I had to choose this one for myself since this was my favorite movie. Right now, it's gunning for the best movie of the year for me. Okay. And I don't see anything on the release schedule that looks like it's going to usurp it. And that would be WALL-E, the Pixar movie about a little robot falls in love. Literally the most fantastic, immersive movie. I was so lost in it watching this movie.
Also like to say about WALL-E that I do my Blu-ray column on Mondays.
Yes.
And normally I try and get, about 300-400 words for each title. Mm. I wrote 1,100 words about the WALL-E Blu-ray without even thinking about it.
You wrote more words than there were in the first 40 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. It was... It is an absolutely ridiculous Blu-ray release, and DVD. The 3-disc DVD is the same. It has that the Pixar story, which is that full-length documentary.
What's brilliant about that one is it's an hour and a half long, and it's stuff that we've seen before. If you got the Pixar Shorts DVD that released last, I think it was last Christmas that released.
Yeah.
It gives sort of a truncated version, and it kind of tells the story of the company, and it kind of goes through the movies. This one's way more detail about what happens with John Lasseter and sort of this love-hate relationship Pixar's had with Disney. Or rather John Lasseter, because he was fired.
Right.
And it all kind of comes full circle.
Right. It's such an amazing company. I don't know.
Yes.
Anyways, speaking of amazing, the movie that got us, our best ratings of the year, I guess, Tropic Thunder, and the most controversial and offensive film of the year, but also probably one of the funniest films of the year. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the DVD was a great release. The DVD and the Blu-ray both had a ton of behind-the-scenes special features, which we could have seen coming because there were so many like supplemental features that were released online, when the movie was coming out. There's a full documentary, Reign of Madness, which
is hilarious because it's a joke on Hearts of Darkness.
Yes, exactly.
And what's so brilliant about that one is watching them go through boot camp. Steve Coogan in that is absolutely amazing. Because it's not a making of the movie. It's a fake making of the fake movie.
Right, right. It's very meta.
And it goes really bizarre when Robert Downey Jr. as Kirk Lazarus, as Lincoln Osiris, immersing himself into the character and like stealing the guy's family and then torturing them.
Exactly. So, very funny, very awesome. I highly recommend. You need to pick up both of those this week.
Something else I want to say about Tropic Thunder. There's a line that Robert Downey Jr. as Kirk Lazarus, as Lincoln Osiris, says in the movie. He says, "I don't break character until I do the DVD commentary." If you listen to the DVD commentary, he does it as Lincoln Osiris. We got Ben Stiller there talking, and then Robert Downey Jr. is like, yeah, well, I think that this happened like this. He's talking like the character.
I guess the greatest thing about Tropic Thunder is the movie fully committed to its own joke. So.
Absolutely. The only thing I didn't like, which I'm going to be a little critical on, is they did Wuss Out, and they put this little public service announcement on the DVD about...
Oh, they did?
You know, don't use the R word, is basically what it is.
Stupid.
And I'm like, why pander? Just, you know, stick... What they should have had is they should have had Ben Stiller say, hi, I'm Ben Stiller, director of the movie, and I know there's a lot of controversy, but we're really making fun of actors like Sean Penn, so don't be an R word.
Yeah, well, you know, politics, I guess, whatever. Yeah. Anyways, what's Stinker of the Week?
Stinker of the Week. I said Southland Tales on Blu-ray because if you didn't understand it on standard DVD, you can understand it even less in glorious HD.
It'll look prettier.
Yeah. I mean, I was tempted to put Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants on there.
See, that wasn't really a stinker as
no,
much as
it was. No,
it's
not a stinker. Like Twilight, it's for a certain audience, and it's not me, but... But, I mean, I would still recommend it if you're, like, a teenage girl.
Okay. Cool. Time to wrap up some reviews. First up was Bolt, which I said kind of rocks.
I said kind of rocks as well.
And Twilight, which did we even grade Twilight?
Yeah, we did. I said it sucked, and you just said kind of sucked.
I said kind of sucks, because I think fans will like it.
Fans will totally love it, but that doesn't stop it from sucking.
Indeed. Next week, we've got all kinds of funness. We've got Four Christmases, Vince Vaughn, Reese Witherspoon.
Australia,
which I will, spoiler alert, was awesome.
Let me, I will say one thing. My aunt has a friend who loves Hugh Jackman. And I said, Hugh Jackman. I said, even if she absolutely hates the entire movie, there's one scene that would be worth the price of admission for her.
Yeah. Is there?
Because I was attracted to Hugh Jackman in this scene.
It was a sexy movie.
It was. I was like, wow. If I was gonna fling to the other side, it would be Hugh Jackman in that one scene.
Totally.
Because he looked good. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Also, Transporter 3, which
that's true,
is the complete opposite of a big chick flick. It's a hardcore dude movie.
Short guy movie. Yeah.
Totally like it. You know what? Can you say? Anyways, if you'd like to get a hold of us in between now and next week, fatguysthemovies.com. Get us on iTunes. Send us an email, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com. Give us a phone call, 614-388-8735. Until then, stay away from movie theaters this weekend because you might have to deal with a bunch of 14-year-old girls.
Or go see Bolt. I will say, though, about Twilight, the girl who plays Rosalie, the one who was in 13, she's bootylicious. She's got some junk in the trunk, man.